Sun's Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the October 31st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Cameroonians are cheering Francis Ngannou after his professional boxing debut over the weekend in Saudi Arabia. Ngannou was a big underdog against WBC heavyweight champion Tyson Fury, but he went the 10-round distance, knocked down Fury in the third round, and lost a controversial split decision. Ngannou grew up in poverty in Cameroon's western town of Batie. But after becoming a mixed martial arts champion and then showing his boxing skills against Fury, Francis Ngannou is now one of Cameroon's biggest sports heroes. In this Sunny Side of Sports feature presentation, Moki Edwin Kinzeka in Cameroon's capital, Yaoundé, tells us more about Ngannou. Good day, Moki.
Good day, Sonny Young, and welcome to Cameroon. Hundreds of fans sang Cameroon's national anthem at Terre Rouge, a neighborhood in the capital Yaoundé, to encourage Francis Ngannou in his boxing debut in Riyadh on Saturday. Ngannou was born to a poor family in Cameroon 37 years ago and is known here as a brave boy who, at 10 years of age, started working in a sand quarry to raise money and provide food for his mother and siblings. Local media, including Cameroon's state broadcaster CRTV, report that Ngannou was approached by several gangs to join them. Cameroon police say Ngannou has no criminal record. Almost all popular spots in Yaoundé, the economic hub Douala, and several towns and villages were full with cheering crowds that turned out to watch Ngannou, their Tyson Fury, who has held the World Boxing Council WBC heavyweight title since 2020. The unified heavyweight titles from 2015 to 2016 and the Ring magazine title twice between 2015 and 2022. There was more cheering in the third round when Ngannou's overhead left caught Fury heavily and he tumbled. The fans held their breath until the end of the 10th round, expecting Ngannou to be declared victor, but that was never the case. Cameroonians generally expressed disappointment with the jury's decision to award Fury the victory of the bout against Ngannou, with many claiming the former UFC world heavyweight was robbed of his boxing debut in Riyadh.
Francis Ngannou was steady, swift, very, very determined in the punches, and he didn't rush on anything. If you saw at one point in time, Tyson Fury wanted to prove strong by attacking and attacking and attacking, but Francis Ngannou, in his defensive manner and in, you know, so much knowledge when it comes to fighting, he was able to bring Tyson Fury down to his knee. I'm sure Tyson Fury was thinking that he will come and meet somebody who have no knowledge of boxing, since the person is coming from the mixed martial arts background, but he was proven wrong.
Even somebody that was watching a boxing fight for the first time, not Ngannou won. But there's more to that. The boxing world is a world that has to do with the judges, has to do with investors, stakeholders, and that's where Tyson wins the fight, because an amateur can't just come and put down the world champion.
Two judges gave Fury the fight by scores of 96-93 and 95-94, and the other judge favoring Ngannou 95-94. Notwithstanding, fans and supporters saying Ngannou has a bright future as he fights with fire and purpose after carving out an impressive career in the brutal world of mixed martial arts, which saw him become an admired UFC heavyweight champion. 47-year-old businessman Neba Emmanuel is an admirer of Ngannou.
I think that for Ngannou, the performance is very grateful for his first fight in heavyweight champion in the world. Now, I believe that in the future, he will do better than this. Fury has been the world champion for more than 10 years. I believe that Fury has met somebody that can challenge him. From this fight, I think that we'll do better so that maybe next time when we meet again, we'll love to see better fight. Because Ngannou has taken the lead.
But who is this Ngannou? At the age of 26, Ngannou left Cameroon to chase his dreams in Europe. He had to cross the Sahara Desert, sometimes in the back of smuggler's truck and many times by foot. Ngannou's family says he left from Cameroon to Nigeria, Niger, Algeria, and then to Morocco. He tried to cross to Europe close to a dozen times but failed. Ngannou finally got to Spanish waters and was picked up by a Red Cross boat. After 2 months in Spanish prison, he was given refugee status and freed. Ngannou made his way to Paris and joined a fighting gym. He is now looked upon as an example of resilience, hard work, and determination to be emulated by Cameroonians. He has set up a Francis Ngannou Foundation that he personally funds. Ngannou says his foundation is to impact the lives of desperate youths who have dreams but lack means of achieving their plans. His patriotism towards Cameroon has been congratulated several times by the Central African States government officials, including President Paul Biya. Each time there is an event out of Cameroon, Ngannou shows up with the green, red, yellow Cameroon flag as a sign of love for his country. Observers say his popularity is almost beating that of legendary Cameroonian football star Samuel Eto'o, who is today president of the Cameroon Football Federation, FECAFOOT. Many youths say they expect Ngannou to come to Cameroon anytime he is free and not only teach but motivate them to become future champions. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Moki Edwin Kinzuka in Yaoundé, Cameroon.
Thanks, Moki. Argentine superstar Lionel Messi won his record-extending 8th Men's Ballon d'Or trophy, awarded to the world's top football player. Messi played a pivotal role in guiding Argentina to their first World Cup title in 36 years, when they beat France in last year's final. The 36-year-old Messi joined Inter Miami in July, and he becomes the first active Major League Soccer player to win the sport's most prestigious individual prize. And speaking of that prize, it was presented to him in Paris by his current boss, Inter Miami president David Beckham. Lionel Messi then delivered a humble speech in which he thanked his teammates and his family while also wishing a happy birthday to the late Diego Maradona, who would have turned 63 on Monday. And following his speech, Messi invited his 3 sons, Thiago, Mateo, and Ciro, to join him on the stage. All 3 were dressed in black suits and bright white sneakers. The women's Ballon d'Or trophy went to Aitana Bonmati. The 25-year-old Barcelona midfielder helped Spain win the Women's World Cup in August. It's the 3rd straight year a Barcelona player has won the award, after it went to Alexia Putellas in 2021 and 2022. World football's governing body, FIFA, says it has banned former Spanish Football Federation president Luis Rubiales for 3 years over violations of the organization's disciplinary code. The Spanish player Jenny Hermoso accused Rubiales of grabbing and kissing her without her consent during on-field celebrations of Spain's first Women's World Cup title in August. FIFA already provisionally suspended Rubiales for 90 days as it conducted its investigation, and he resigned in September. He also faces charges of sexual assault and coercion in Spain, and Hermoso has filed a restraining order against him. Saudi Arabia is left as a shoo-in to host the 2034 Men's FIFA World Cup after Australia confirmed it would not make a bid to host football's global showpiece. Football Australia says it will instead focus on bids for the 2026 Women's Asian Cup and the 2029 Club World Cup. Australia's decision not to go for the 2034 World Cup leaves Saudi Arabia as the only confirmed bidder. FIFA has already awarded the 2030 Men's World Cup to Morocco, Portugal, and Spain. The United States, Canada, and Mexico will stage the 2026 Men's World Cup. More football news. We're now 74 days away to the kickoff of the Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Ivory Coast. 24 teams will compete in the African Football Fiesta. The Nigerian Football Supporters Club in Ivory Coast says it will be cheering loudly for the Super Eagles during the Nations Cup. How would you describe the club's preparation? That's the question Iron Mike Mbonye posed to club spokesman Kareem Akande.
The preparation by the Nigerian Football Supporters Club for the AFCON tournament is amazing. We are very much ready than the world ready because we have had every plan ahead to make sure this AFCON tournament is one of the best of its kind. In short, for me not to beat around the bush, we are very much prepared, and very soon everyone will know what I'm talking about. I told you that we are more better ready than the world ready.
The Super Eagles of Nigeria are in the same group with the Elephants of Cote d'Ivoire. What are the chances of Nigeria in the group?
From the record, it's Nigeria team. And we have so many qualified and experienced, which I think if they are very much ready to make this battle the red one, I'm telling you that Nigeria will be top of the group. Yes, we have a very, very big chances in that group with the Ivorian team, who are the hosts of this tournament. You see, from our findings and the research, we can tell you that the only team that the element of Cote d'Ivoire are afraid of is Nigeria. That's the only team they are scared of since the day the draw has been made, whereby they find themselves alongside with us in the same group. So they started lamenting, you know. So that we should now take this for granted. The Nigeria team also should get prepared for the battle. Telling you we are afraid of you or we are scared of you doesn't mean that they are not going to come and play. So it is the Nigeria teams, it is over to them to act as that fear is on them already to come together and form a formidable team, defeating every team they face. They should take every game as a final. No game should consider as a group stage game. No. Every game for the Super Eagles, like a final. That is when we can get the respect, the full respect they have from every team in this tournament.
Do you have plans to mobilize more Nigerians living in Ivory Coast to support the Super Eagles?
Yes, we have planned to mobilize more Nigerians. And so far, we have been doing that for long. You know, the Nigerian Supporters Club, since 1993, we have been existing in Ivory Coast, and we never relent a day. We do our assignments day by day. Whenever there is a competition, we are almost present. So far, with the AFCON tournament hosting in Ivory Coast, we have started mobilizing more than what we have been doing before. Because this time around, the full support, and we will record that Nigerians living in Ivory Coast are more than 5 million. So far, so good. At least I can tell you that out of the 5 million, we have gained at least millions of them. And we are still working. Remember, the AFCON still remain 2 months to this time now. We still have more way to go, and we never relent.
That's Kareem Akande, a spokesman for the Nigerian Football Supporters Club in Ivory Coast. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Abidjan, Ivory Coast. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The Taifa Stars of Tanzania are expected to face a tough challenge at the Nations Cup in Ivory Coast. The Tanzanian team has been drawn with Morocco, a 2022 World Cup semifinalist, the Chipolopolo of Zambia, the 2012 Nations Cup champion, and the Democratic Republic of Congo. Now, Tanzania's Nations Cup qualification set off celebrations in the country. Magume Davis Rakawinj tells us more. Sporty Tuesday greetings, Magume.
Sporty Tuesday greetings to Tusani and our listeners. Hundreds of Tanzania football fans sang and danced traditional African songs as they welcomed their heroes, Taifa Stars, the Tanzania national football team, at the Julius Nyerere International Airport upon qualifying for Ivory Coast 2023 AFCON Finals. Speaking in Swahili, midfielder Mzamiri Yasin, who plays for local club Simba SC, thanked fans for their support.
I think we had a good game, and our main objective was to qualify. At times we had to delay plays against Algeria in order to slow their pace, and at last we were able to get a draw and achieve our objective. We thank our fans that came through in Algeria to witness history, and the one at home, we thank them for their huge support, and at last we are heading into AFCON next year.
Fellow player Novatus Dismas, who plays for Shakhtar Donetsk, agrees.
We thank everyone that supported us throughout. Every Tanzanian wanted to see their team participate in another AFCON competition. We thank God for the achievements. I want to applaud all my fellow players for 90 minutes for the hard fought. Performance wasn't top-notch, but our plan was to defend 90 minutes. We had 7 points, we only needed 1 point, and we achieved it. We thank everyone that came through, and we ask them to support us for the upcoming competitions.
With only 19% ball possession and just 46% pass accuracy, the Taifa Stars defended well from the kickoff against well-studded Algeria side that includes former Manchester City, now Al Ahly winger, Riyad Mahrez, West Ham United's Mohamed Bamlama, the two coming in as substitutes in the second half. Adel Amrushi is the Taifa Stars coach. He thanked his players for their fighting spirit.
Our players was a fighter, was a warrior in the field. I'm happy, very, very happy for our supporters. I thank all the people who sent us the message.
Fan Salum Pelembo says he's excited to have witnessed his national team qualify for Africa's biggest football tournament. Pelembo says he organize other fans so they travel and support the Taifa Stars playing at AFCON in Ivory Coast.
If you ask me, I would say that Stars played in a perfect discipline so as to see the team progress. And it was not fashionable. It was not good enough to make everyone happy. But the main aim or the main goal was to see the team going forward. To see how we are going to create a group of fans that is going to travel to the destination of the tournament.
The Taifa Stars were rewarded with a bonus of 500 million Tanzania shillings, about $200,000, from Tanzania President Samia Suluhu. This is the third time the Taifa Stars are qualifying for the AFCON finals. Tanzania sports analyst Samir Nchimbi says the Taifa Stars have to work and improve on their goal-scoring record if they have to stand a chance of progressing beyond group stages this time around.
Making into the round of 16 It would be a huge achievement for us next year because it's a round that we haven't made for the past 40 years. Maybe in our history, we have never done that before. So I think going into the round of 16, it would be a huge achievement. And making it into another Africa Cup of Nations, it would be a huge achievement. We just have to be regulars from now. It shouldn't be something that we sniff in, we go to competitions and off. The next year, we fail to go, we come back again, eliminated in a group stage. It's something that we don't have to do.
By qualifying, Tanzania represented the entire Council for Eastern Central Africa Football Association's OSECAFA region, comprising 12 countries. And fans from all parts of Tanzania, just like this here, won't stop dancing to celebrate such an achievement. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
The Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My X, formerly known as Twitter handle, is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com for lots of Africa news. For world news, go to voanews.com.
This week on a special edition of Straight Talk Africa, we're examining the escalating war between Israel and Hamas. Israeli military forces are pushing deeper into Gaza. Palestinians seeking shelter from intensifying airstrikes are facing blackouts, lack of food, clean water, and medical care. Join me, Heidi Adams, and my guests as we discuss the deepening crisis in the Israel-Hamas war. This Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
In African athletics, runners from Kenya and Ethiopia won the men's and women's titles Sunday at the Frankfurt Marathon in Germany. The energetic Andy Edwards filed this post-race report from Frankfurt.
Both women's and men's elite races put on a fine show in sometimes adverse weather conditions. Bizunesh Gudeta cut more than 3 minutes off her best time to win the women's top prize, while Brumin Misoy also braved a headwind and increasing rain to take his second men's crown in succession. Misoy is a tough competitor, perhaps not destined to be in the record-breaking mould, but give him a race with tough conditions and he's one of those who will come through. Especially creditable was taking more than a minute off his personal best to win in 2 hours, 4 minutes and 53 seconds. Only the former world record holder, Wilson Kipsang, has won two consecutive Frankfurt men's titles, and that was 12 years ago. Although he had the better-known Guye Adola of Ethiopia as his final rival going into the second half of the race, Misoy repeated surges, and then ultimately a successful attack from 25 kilometres did the trick. Adola slipped back to finish third, almost 3 minutes behind, while his fellow Ethiopian Asefa Mulogeta moved up to second, but still a minute adrift of Brumin Misoy. Bizunesh Gudeta showed she can celebrate as well as beat the women's field into the splendid Festhalle, or Festival Hall, in Frankfurt. True, she had missed the course record by 17 seconds, but had carved a big chunk off her best time, more than 3 minutes, to win in 2 hours, 19 minutes and 27. Once across the line, but still in the finish area, Bizunesh removed one shoe, held it aloft, and had a burst of renewed energy in dancing around the finishing area, keeping perfect balance on just one shoe. Quite a revival after lying on the ground for a while after breaking the tape. Runner-up was the Kenyan, Winfrida Mosseti. Not a big name, but this recent performance makes her someone to take note for the future. She improved by over 2 minutes. It's interesting that she says she doesn't belong to any big training group, has a coach, but usually just one training partner. The formula works, since she ran 2 hours, 20 minutes and 55. The first four women across the line all set personal bests, with Kenyan Sharon Arusho finishing third. Frankfurt maintained his reputation for fast times, whatever the weather, and, with a view to the distant horizon, offering a stage to performers who go on to make an even bigger impact on the world of distance running. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Andy Edwards in Frankfurt.
Thanks, Andy. The AP's Chuck Freeman joins us now with a package of basketball and American-style football news. But Chuck begins with an update on Major League Baseball's World Series.
The Texas Rangers, they've taken a 2-1 lead in the World Series after a 3-1 victory over the Arizona Diamondbacks. Corey Seager launched a 2-run home run as the Rangers scored 3 early runs off Diamondbacks starter Brandon Faught.
This is what you play for. This is what you where you want to be at this moment. Having experience with this, and fortunately for me, having experience with this, it's always kind of driven me. You know, I was fortunate enough to be a part of some good teams and experience these things.
Rangers starter Max Scherzer left the game after 3 innings because of back tightness. Game 4 tonight in Phoenix. The Cleveland Guardians have interviewed Brewers manager Craig Counsell. His contract expires this week with the team. Monday Night Football rookie Jahmyr Gibbs ran for a season-high 152 yards and a touchdown, and the NFC North leading Detroit Lions beat the Las Vegas Raiders 26-14.
It feels great, you know, overall to get a team win. Obviously, you have a day like that, you're going to be happy. We just need to keep stacking on.
Vikings quarterback Kirk Cousins out for the rest of the season, a torn right Achilles. NBA, Los Angeles Lakers topped Orlando, Boston over Washington, Brooklyn defeated Charlotte, Chicago over Indiana, Portland beat Toronto, Atlanta down Minnesota, Golden State got 42 from Steph Curry in a win over New Orleans, Dallas beat Memphis, Oklahoma City beat Detroit, Milwaukee over Miami, and Denver downed Utah. Chuck Freeman.
Thanks, Chuck. Finally, let's go to Johannesburg, where South Africa's Springboks received a hero's welcome Tuesday after winning their record 4th World Rugby title. The Springboks beat the All Blacks of New Zealand 12-11 on Saturday in a bruising World Cup final. It set off celebrations throughout South Africa. More celebrations on Tuesday. Let's close the show with these happy box supporters.
Yeah, I feel brilliant. My voice is gone. The third game in a row. I was screaming myself, Mal, to come here and experience us. It's a different thing. When I can't return tomorrow.
The guys won, and they won like second time. So I'm just happy for them. And because rugby now, it's the only thing that we could, you know, like football. Day and day, but rugby is the only sports like we could in.
I'm waiting for the arrival of the bus. They'll see me there on the other top. I'll be there with them, with the cup and everything that can be the cup.
Go, Boca! I love the Boca. I love South Africa. I love everyone. I love South Africa.
And that wraps up the October 31st edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.